This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, good Saturday morning. Charlie Epps is, of course, here. Bill Harmon not with us today. He's got some obligations that he has to attend to. But, Charlie, we will have one of your friends on a little bit later.
We're going to have a great friend of mine, student of mine, a great Houston Cougar, and a great friend of Mrs. Bush. We had a tournament that developed into something really good. And Mr. and Mrs. Bush, President Bush and Mrs. Bush, were honorary chairmen of the chair ladies of the event. And we raised a lot of money. And Mrs. Bush couldn't have been more gracious to all of us, had us in her home. Just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So Blaine can also talk about his relationship with her and how nice Mrs. Bush was to his wife, who happens to be legally blind, and we were raising money for her benefit, and Claudia and Mrs. Bush were friends. So it's a great story, and it just shows you how far-reaching Mr. and Mrs. Bush, or President and Mrs. Bush, were in this community, and it's just a wonderful story.
No doubt. So we look forward to that. Blaine McAllister is going to join us in about 15 minutes from now, and also he was Fred Couples and Jim Nance's roommate, so we can get into all that.
We had a
pretty talented room, huh?
Yes, and they just had a special on CBS during the Masters about that relationship, and it was neat. It was, and we lived it, and they kept me up too many nights in my house, and I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up to go to work, and they'd be out in my living room just still talking.
And why not, right?
Unbelievable. And then he's coming also into town to play in the Insperity Invitational at the Woodlands, a great senior event, and the great seniors coming to town. We're going to have a wonderful time, but we'll be right back after this break.
All right, Blaine McAllister will join us at about 15 minutes from now. A lot more to get into. A big name is finally back from an injury, so we'll get into that. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and it's right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, Bill Harmon will be back with us next week. Charlie Epps, of
we
course.
We never know.
We never know, yeah.
He might better deal us again.
Yeah, he's at the Floridian doing some work.
He's hobnobbing over there with all the stars.
That's how Bill operates. But hopefully, I'll say hopefully, Charlie, Bill will be back with us next week. Charlie's good friend, Blaine McAllister, going to join us at about 10 minutes from now. But we should let you know, if you're listening and you're like, oh, I wonder what Charlie thought about the Masters. I wonder what Bill thought about the Masters. There's an easy way to do that. If you ever miss the show, you tune in a little bit late, all you got to do is go to podcastarena.com/Epps/. And right there, you'll have every show you can ever imagine that Charlie Epps has done. So if you're saying, I want to figure out what Charlie thought about Patrick Reed or Rory McIlroy coming undone at the Masters a couple weeks ago, just go on the page, check it out.
You know, some of our best shows have just been me and you. You know why? Because Bill doesn't give us a chance to talk. He's always talking. But we had a great show about the Masters. Everybody should tune in.
Yeah.
Go back and listen. And then send us an email.
Right, and if you're listening now and you're like, well, I'm not in my car every week at this time from 8 to 9 Central or 9 to 10 Eastern, all you got to do is remember, you got iTunes or whatever your phone is, and you just go on there every week, download the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and you can listen to it Monday when you're on the treadmill or lunchtime during work or maybe even in the middle of work.
We're even streaming in Uruguay, Montevideo, Uruguay, all over South America.
Wow.
I've got a friend down there that was a Cougar. He went to the University of Houston. Alvaro Canessa, and he listens to us a lot.
Awesome.
So, extreme also, right?
Yes, you can stream us as well. And locally at SportsMap 94.1, or you can just go to SBNationRadio.com and get us on the stream. Charlie, big news in terms of an injury. Now, U.S. Open champ Brooks Koepka, of course, remember he's been out for a little bit. He's been dealing with a wrist injury, but he says he plans to play in the Zurich Classic next week in New Orleans. He's been out for 15 weeks, about 91 days. He said, quote, "I feel like it's been 6 months. I still have confidence I can win next week." So what he had was a wrist injury.
One of the worst injuries a golfer can have.
For a golfer?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was to the point where he was getting bone marrow taken out of his hip to inject it into his wrist. But he said he's playing well right now. He feels good. So Brooks Koepka, another one of these guys that was a really good young player. We just hope that, and you mentioned it at the time, make sure he completely heals before he comes back, or else this is going to be something that lingers.
Sounds like he has 90 days, and the doctors are today really up on stuff like that. We have a good friend, Billy Ray Brown, who is a phenom, and he won the NCAA championship at University of Houston when he was a freshman. He won 3 tour events. He was really, you know, really a great golfer, and he suffered a wrist injury, and it took his career. Now he's, you know, talking on ESPN about golf, but you got to really be careful. So there should be a rule in golf is that if your ball is on a root, you get full relief, but that's for another show.
Yeah, Charlie, going on right now, the Valero Texas Open. Zach Johnson has a share of the lead. He's at 9-under par. Ryan Moore at 9-under par. And Billy Horschel sits there at 5-under par. Keegan Bradley at 5-under par. Not a huge event in terms of the names. I believe Sergio Garcia was the only guy that was within the top 15. But Zach Johnson continues to play well.
Once
65
again,
on Friday.
Yeah, once again, it's all the timing of the tour. And if you're behind a major, guys are going to, you know, they're going to play 4 to 5 weeks leading up to a major getting, and then they're going to take some time off. And a lot of the stars, unfortunately, have taken time off for the Valero Open. But it's a great tournament, one of the oldest ones on tour. And next year, it's going to be the week before the Masters, and they're going to get a much better field. And unfortunately, they're taking Houston Open date from us, so we still don't have any word about the Houston Open. I'm waiting every day to. I hope we get it back. I mean, it just saddens me that we're not going to have that at Golf Club of Houston / Redstone anymore. But that's life, and we must go forward. But the Valero tournament is they've stepped up, put up $100 million, and they got that new date, and it's going to help the event. So, the leader, Zach Johnson, once again, it's a type of golf course that really allows Zach a chance. There's 5 or 6 courses that are really meant for accuracy, and San Antonio is one of them. Harbortown, which was last week, is another golf course that's short, and you need to be accurate with your driver off the tee, kind of like Colonial, a golf course that, you know, is the test of time, developed in the 30s. So it's not a bomber's course. It's somebody that can keep the ball in the fairway and be a good iron because the green are so small. So and we can visit with Blaine a little about that too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Sergio Garcia played poorly, of course, at the Masters. Remember, he had that awful, awful, awful hole. It was 12 where he just kept going in the water.
13,
excuse me. Yes, he kept going in the water. And now he plays in the Valero this week and misses the cut, 74 and a 72. So Sergio Garcia, after winning his first Masters last year, the past couple of weeks have not been kind to Sergio on the golf course.
And that's, you know, that can be expected, you know, but he did throw his driver into the bushes.
I saw that. You like that? A little passion, I guess.
Well, you know, it's it.
Yeah, so we'll see if Sergio can turn it around in the next couple of weeks here because he has not been playing well. But I guess the silver lining with Sergio is the fact that, you know what, he's finally got his major championship last year, which everybody questioned. Charlie, found this interesting this week. I found this article from golfdigest.com, and they were talking about driving distance and how actually the non-pros are actually hitting the ball shorter the past couple of years. According to a study from Arcos, Users' drivers' habits since 2015, driving distance across all age groups and all handicaps is at best flat and in many cases declining. In short, and in perhaps, the data suggests that only the distance problem for more than 99% of golfers who are not getting paid plays is a lack of it. So they recently examined from 2015 to 2018, and they basically found that the average golfer in 2018 is driving at about 217 yards, the average golfer,
yep,
down from 220 in 2015. So that's a pretty big difference, and you would expect the way that it's going in the professional ranks that maybe it would go up all over the place. But what do you think leads to this?
It what sells golf balls is who has the longest golf ball. And the golf ball is designed for the tour player, the guys that can achieve 120 mile an hour club head speed and hit it square in the face. The ball is kind of it once it reaches a certain altitude, if you will, the ball sails more because it doesn't spin as much. The technology is such, is they've proven that they have a ball that goes better into the wind, but it's also has to achieve a certain launch angle, plus the speed of the swing has to be 118, one, you know. So the amateurs, it's hard for them to get higher than 100 miles an hour. They're probably closer to 90 miles an hour. Well, the ball at 90 miles an hour doesn't have that extra turbocharge to have that distance. So, yes, the average amateur is not hitting it any further, but the pro is, and that's what they advertise. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and Charlie, one other thing, and you kind of mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Nick Clearwater, he's the vice president of instruction for Golf Tech. He said that average golfers, this is one of your tips of the week, he said average golfers are using ill-fitted clubs, and while swinging like tour players is not easy.
That's right. No, there's no doubt about it. The pros, you know, they have radar now that tells them exactly not only what their club is doing speed-wise, but the angle of attack, the launch angle, and the scientific golf manufacturers have got it down, you know, finely tuned, and so they can get the shafts right. The shaft manufacturers, they're concerned with the Tour Pro. They make better shafts, and they respond to the speed at which the pro is swinging. So it's all in favor of the better player, but they advertise to the gullible,
to the average golfer. To the everyday golfer, so to speak, the everyday man.
Yeah, that they're going to go out and buy distance, and you can't do that.
Yeah, and what they pointed out, Charlie, in this article on Golf Digest, it's a great article if you want to check it out, is that most people mishit their driver.
That's right. They got a big face, but they're swinging so hard, and their grips are so bad, and you know they don't make center face contact.
No doubt about it. All right, well, five-time PGA Tour winner, a good friend of Charlie's, Blaine McAllister, will join us next right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on the all-new Sports Map 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. With Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, joining us now is a five-time winner on the PGA Tour, Blaine McAllister. Blaine, thanks so much for taking some time today to join us in Charlie.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We're wonderful, Blaine. How about you?
Well, Charlie, I'm sitting here. It's raining here in Jacksonville, Florida. It's coming off the coast. It's kind of a cold, miserable day, but the spring just won't come in. It just keeps running away.
It was 54 degrees yesterday morning at 8 o'clock in Houston, Texas.
Well, Chamber of Commerce Day, as I call it. Everybody wants to move now. Right there.
Well, Blaine, we got great memories. You know, we have a situation where we, you know, you and I and a couple of your buddies, we started a golf tournament, and we had the fortunate, you know, luck of Mr. President Bush at the time become the honorary chairman of the event, the Three Amigos. And through that, we became, and you became, friends with a lady by the name of Mrs. Bush.
Charlie, Barbara Bush became, I guess my wife and her became very, very good friends. And it was kind of like the first time they met, it was like they had been long-lost sisters. It was incredible how she just kind of took to liking to Claudia and her situation, obviously, with her eyesight and not being able to see. And Mrs. Bush just kind of just could not get enough of Claudia, and they just became really good friends. They exchanged letters quite often. We have several letters from Barbara Bush that we have here at our house, and several lovely pictures I have of the two of them together. And it was tough news when we got the news of her struggle and then the loss of her, and our thoughts go out to the family and how wonderful she was to us and the whole family. They've been wonderful to Claudia and I, and she'll be dearly missed. But I can tell you one thing, it's like her son said, that she was always an incredible mother, but also an incredible as far as her, you know, wants in the world. Her, you know, I mean, her fight for illiteracy said was incredible, and I mean, she was just incredible in her attitude, and I mean, everybody said, well, she was the wife of the president. I just think the president was married to her. That's how I look at it.
Well, we know she welcomed everybody into her home. You visited with her and Claudia in her home, and she's so gracious. But the other thing, and this is a golf story in that through golf, we can raise money, and at the time we were helped raise money for your wife's PXE, right?
Correct. Yep. And they were very helpful in that, and very supportive of their help in the raising of funds for my wife Claudia's disease, in which we were very fortunate that through the money that we raised, we were able to discover the gene that that causes the disease, and due to that fact, we can now test folks and test kids, or we were able to test our kids and their spouses and prove that they were not going to be carriers. And fortunately, our grandkids will never have the disease. But it's just something that it's really unique that how they took it into themselves to be part of such a wonderful to take us in and be part of our wonderful lives. I mean, it's just been incredible what kind of folks they were.
We raised what? Almost $3 million. We had
scholars. I would say close to $3 million. I know we put in close to $750,000 alone just to the PXE Foundation.
And then you got scholarships for the kids at University of Houston, right?
Right. We endowed a golf scholarship at the University of Houston. We endowed a basketball scholarship at the University of Houston, which were the first two scholarships ever in history to be endowed by former athletes at the University of Houston. We take Freddie, myself, and Jim Nance take great pride in.
Well, but back then, golfers weren't athletes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Golfers weren't athletes. I'm not sure what they considered us, but we weren't athletes. That's right.
But the other other two friends of yours that were involved, it was, of course, Fred Couples and then Jim Nance. And he raised a lot of money for Alzheimer's.
Exactly, for Jim Nance's father, and then also for the Cancer Society, which took Freddie's mom. And he was big into support of that to try to raise money for the Cancer Society in honor of his mother, who he lost due to cancer. And also for Jim Nance, obviously, with his dad battling Alzheimer's and losing him to the disease, that was our other fundraising. And President and Mrs. Bush could not have been more generous in their time and their support of three kids, three guys out of the University of Houston. And they just kind of took us under the wing. And Charlie, you had a lot to do with that. You got to remember your connections with President Bush go back a long ways. And I can remember at Houston Country Club watching you and Mr. Bush, President Bush teeing off there at the first tee at Houston Country Club back when I was in college and getting to meet him. And also with Secretary of State Baker that's kind of my first meeting with the president, and obviously your connections with them was the reason we got involved. And now Jim Nance is kind of one of their family friend for life, as far as they're concerned. I mean, he's just been so wonderful to the Bushes and Freddie. They basically adopted the three of us, and I think a lot of it has to do with what you did for us, Charlie. How you introduced us to these wonderful people.
Well, it's you know, as a golf pro at Houston Country Club, you get to hang around with some very nice people, and they did all that because the Bushes, President Bush and Mrs. Bush, are special people, and they concerned themselves with everybody, and it was quite a relationship, and something I'll always value, and we honor her today. They have doing great things in her honor here in Houston. All the, you know, the dignitaries are going to be here today. They're going to be over at the church. It's just a great celebration, and then she's being taken up to Aggieland. And up to the president.
Yeah, she's going up to the presidential library up at Texas A&M.
And everybody should go visit that. I mean, that's really a tribute to two special people in their lives and what they've done for the good of America.
Yeah,
it's a tribute to them. And David Jones, I think, should get a lot of slaps on the back for his wonderful, wonderful job he's done with that presidential library there at Texas A&M.
We're chatting with five-time PGA Tour winner Blaine McAllister right here on the Charlie Ebbs Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston on the all-new Sports Map 94.1. Blaine, what was it like? Take us back to when you were first starting up to raise money for your wife's disease and with Jim Nance. You mentioned the Alzheimer with his father and cancer and all that type of stuff. What was it like when you first met the Bushes?
Well, I mean, I was fortunate. I had met President Bush back in in the 70s, early 80s, when I was at the University of Houston. Like I said, Charlie was playing with him out there at the University of Houston, and I was fortunate to become really good friends with Charlie, and he was nice enough to introduce me to President Bush. He wasn't president at the time, but I was fortunate to meet him. But when I finally got to meet Mrs. Bush was obviously during the event that that Charlie was chairman of and tournament director and putting it on, and when she walked into the room just basically lit up. I mean, she showed such elegance and she had such quick wit. I mean, she was unbelievable how she could come out and just make you laugh instantly. And I was fortunate every time that I was around them at our tournament that she was the one that sat at our table. She always made that effort to make sure she sat with Claudia during the tournament. And the two of them, like I said, were just like, I mean, they never left each other's side. And it was kind of interesting because they would always change. They would exchange little quips back and forth. And it was kind of, I mean, they just hit it off. And I know Claudia loved the woman very much so. And I know her support for Claudia. I mean, when we received letters from her and, you know, congratulating us on our first grandchild, I mean, that's something we'll always cherish. And I'll never forget it, just because being around her, I was never part of the group. I was just kind of there, and that's kind of what was funny. Because when they finally we had to go up and speak on stage, I can remember Mrs. Bush saying, "Don't you have to be somewhere?" I mean, I said, "Yes, ma'am, I got to go." But she always made me laugh. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's great. Great stuff, Blaine. And we got about a minute left to work with before we get to step away for a quick second. But I was told to ask you that I know you won five times on the PGA Tour, but your biggest accomplishment was in the National PGA Team event, finishing second with Charlie.
Well, I was fortunate enough to have a good partner that week, and Charlie carried me that week, and I'm very proud to say that I had a good partner, and he took me to the top of the leaderboard. If I'd have made one more putt for him, I think we might have won the thing, but we got a little unlucky. But yeah, Charlie carried me that week, which is nothing new. He's been carrying me his whole life, basically. And I look forward to seeing you next week, Charlie, and rehashing that memory.
Well, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the Insperity Invitational that you're going to come and play in, and you played in many, many years. So it's going to be fun talking about that.
Yep, we'll be right back.
All right, you got it.
We'll be right back. Blaine McAllister, a five-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's done some great charity work as well. He's going to stay with us. We'll be right back on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and Sports Map 94.1.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, Blaine McAllister, five-time PGA Tour winner, now playing on the Champions Tour. Kind enough to give us almost a half an hour this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And Blaine, found something interesting that maybe most people don't know about you. So you strike the ball righty and you putt lefty?
That is correct.
How'd that come about?
The guy sitting next to you right there, basically. We shared a lot of time in the off season doing a lot of fun stuff together, and one of them happened to be hunting. Charlie always noticed that I like to shoot a rifle left-handed or shoot a shotgun left-handed, and pretty much everything I do is left-handed except play golf. And basically my banker finally told me I was broke putting right-handed, so there was something I had to do. So Charlie said, come on. So we walked out to the putting green there at Houston Country Club. He handed me a bullseye putter, and we got about, 3 or 4 feet in the hole. And he said, here, hit some putts. And I said, what do you mean? He said, just do it. So I started fiddling around and got comfortable putting left-handed. And I started hitting putts left-handed, and just like all of a sudden my eyesight just came to me. I could see the line. It became a natural. And due to that guy sitting next to you right there, I can tell you it turned my career around and put me on the face of the PGA Tour. So yeah, it was something I struggled with. I felt like a very good ball striker and just needed to find a way to get it in the hole. And fortunately for me, Charlie found that way, and the rest is kind of taken off.
We were hunting over in South Texas in Del Rio, and all of a sudden Blaine says, you see that deer? I said, no, I don't see a deer. He said, yeah, it's right over there. So, boom, he shoots, makes a shot. So we go a couple hundred yards or however far it was. Right in the middle of the mott, here's this deer. I said, how in the hell did you here see that? He said, well, I saw his antlers amongst the trees. I said, damnedest eyesight I've ever seen. But the end of the story was, we have a good friend, a guy named Don January, great Texas golf professional, and we were at the Hall of Fame back in 1978. And I said, Mr. January, when you have trouble putting or chipping, what do you do? What do you do? He said, I always teach myself a new way to putt. So at the time, Blaine was having some trouble with his putting, and so I said, well, let's try something different. And because of eyesight and being, eye dominant, stuff like that. And the rest is history, because Blaine ended up, the next year he went from the worst putter on tour to finishing eighth 1 year. Right, Blaine?
Yep. In fact, Charlie, the next year I ended up getting beat in a playoff at a tournament in Boston, and I won the Texas State Open that year. It was incredible how it all happened. It was just you get on a roll and your confidence goes, and next thing you know, you're a believer, and I was a believer. And to this day, I can still tell you that it's so much easier for me to see the line from the left-hand side than it could from the right. That's where I think it was really the problem. I was struggling to see the breaks and see the lines that I needed the ball to roll on, and it just, once you get that deterioration in your mind, it just kept flowing, and next thing you know, I was having the problem, making any putts from right-handed. But once I turned left-handed and was able to see the lines, it's just incredible how it just kind of opened up.
Yes, great story in golf. Great story in golf. So, Blaine, Insperity, you're coming to Houston.
Yes, sir.
Playing another great event. There's so many great side stories to this event. The boys out there at Insperity treat you golf pros so nice, and you guys come in, and we have a lot of pro-ams, a lot of dinners. And then the greats of golf come Saturday afternoon. Nicklaus is coming back. Of course, Arnold's only going to be there in spirit. But it's a great event, and Noggs does a wonderful job. Brian Nagel, he's the tournament chairman. And it's a great week of golf, isn't it?
It's these four gentlemen, Steve and Paul and Richard and my one and only Jay,
yep,
have taken the Champions Tour, Champions PGA Tour event, and to another level. And the Insperity folks just they cannot do enough for the PGA Tour champions out there, and the hospitality that they bestow upon us is incredible. Ryan Nagel and his staff, Jane Weinemacher, she is the class of all class when it comes to tournament directors. They don't do enough. I mean, they do too much. I mean, it's over the board. I mean, they just take it to another level. And I've never in my life in tournament golf experienced such hospitality and such wonderful week of tournament golf with the pro-ams and the nightlife and the parties. And it's like there's an event, and then there's all, oh yeah, we got golf. We forgot about the golf. But they don't do enough for you as far as they're concerned. They just want to do more. I mean, it's just their attitude and the way it is. But this is a special year this year, Charlie. We have Richard Rawson's retiring at the end of this event. And I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful, emotional week for him and for the players, too, because we're such a big fan of Richard, who's also a huge University of Houston alumnus there for the support of the golf program and all the sports at University of Houston. So I have a big connection with him, and I'm looking forward to spending the week with him and all the folks from Insperity and their hospitality. And, Charlie, if I don't start playing any better, last time I checked my scores, my scores look like the speed limit out in West Texas. That's how bad my scores have been.
We're going to do something about that. I'm going to get through my bone fishing. Can you believe I'm going bone fishing in the Bahamas? But
Charlie, the first thing I have fished with you before, Charlie, and I mean, I really didn't think you could hit the water if you fell out of the boat. I thought you'd miss the water. But it's not an easy sport, so hang in there, because the bone fishing will frustrate the heck out of you. They're a searcher fish, so you got to make sure you get it in front of them.
But when we get back, we're gonna work on your game, and we're gonna get you hitting the ball good again, and get you on top of that leaderboard. That's my
goal. I appreciate it, and as always, what I appreciate more than anything is your friendship and your family. How much y'all have meant to Claudia and I, and like I said, today is a somber day. We're putting a lady to rest today, but I'm going to have a smile on my face for all the things she did for me and my wife and all of us there in Houston and everybody across the world. She was truly, truly one of the most quality special ladies in the world.
Yeah, it's well said. Blaine McAllister, five-time PGA Tour champ, is on with us right now on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, SB Nation Radio and Sportsmap 94.1. So, Blaine, what's it like for you every year as your former roommates Jim Nance and Fred Couples when you were at U of H? It seems every year at the Masters, Fred Couples at least plays well on Thursday and Friday, usually carries it into the weekend, and then your other college roommate is on there calling the whole thing. What's that like for you every year?
Well, I mean, it was kind of unique because I got to experience it with them. I mean, yeah. I was very fortunate to play in several Masters, and Jim was there the very first Masters I ever hit. Jim was standing on the tee to watch me hit my very first tee ball. And to think back to our days at the University of Houston, and you know, we talked about this. We talked about what the possibilities of one day, you know, Jim Nance being the host at Butler Cabin and one day one of us winning the Masters. And you know, one thing I can honestly say about Freddie did have a huge desire for the Masters. He somehow, you know, growing up, he did not know much about it, but he did when he got to college and late in his high school years, and he started really, really watching. That was the event that he really cherished and wanted to watch. And he always had his mindset, that's where he wanted to play. That's where he wanted to be, and he wanted to one day be the Master champ. And we talked about it, and if there's ever been a guy that loves the game, loves the golf course more than Freddie, I'd like to know who it is, because as soon as he steps up on that tee, he knows he's going to play well there. He knows where he's going to hit it. He knows how he's going to play the course, and it's a perfect mindset for it. And obviously his record is impeccable there, and it speaks for himself how well he plays there. But I can remember the first time we stepped foot on Augusta National, we were up there for a tournament at Augusta, a college event, and Dave Williams, our typical day, he somehow got us to get inside the gate there as a team. And this was not during the Masters. It was just during the off season. And in fact, I think the course was closed. And he got us through the gate, and he had the barber. They had a barber shop on the premise with the guy that would cut the members' hair. And somehow Coach Dave got a hold of the barber, and next thing you know, the barber is driving us around Augusta National in a car. And we're getting to see the golf course. And it was like, I can remember it as if it was yesterday. I believe it was 1978. that we first stepped foot on the hollow grounds of Augusta National, and you could just see it in everybody's eyes how they all light up when you realize where you were standing and where you were. I'll always remember that.
Always. Great memories of what you guys have done together. And finally, you all just did a special out in Arizona, and it was broadcast during the Masters about the relationship you and Freddie and Jim and Horn. And tell us what that time was, it being together, and what was one of the highlights of came out of that interview.
Well, we actually got to rehash our old college days, and like Freddie said, the one thing he did say in the interview was, you know, when he was there after 3 days, he called his mother up, and she thought, "What the heck's wrong with you?" And he said, "Are you want to come home?" And he said, "No, I don't want to come home. It's just so darn hot here in Houston. I don't know what to do." he didn't wear a glove in those days, and he never did wear a glove, so it was kind of different than the Seattle weather, but. You know, we had a special relationship as far as us. We all loved our relationship was more or less not just about golf, but about just being individuals and having fun together. And we all got hashed together and formed a relationship. And I can honestly say the one thing I've always admired about Freddie, he never changed in my book. He always was just Fred. He never became Fred too big for the game of golf, too big for his friends, or too big to remember the. He just wanted to be around his friends and play good golf. And he would have loved to have gone through the world not getting noticed. That would have been his ideal situation. But, you know, Freddie never changed. And of course, Jim, we always knew he was going to be something because you could just tell it from the beginning. And then John Horn had such a great talent, but, you know, he didn't have the makeup to make it on the PGA Tour. He did a great job. He played a couple of years out there, but John is a great family man now. He lives out in Plainview, Texas, and the farmer took over his parents' farming, and he's a wonderful individual. And of course, Palmer Sean was involved in all this because he was kind of like, okay, I'm going to be part of this also as far as my relationship with his relationship with Fred and becoming his coach. And so it was an unbelievable life experience, and I'll never forget it because we had so much fun together. It was about the golf. It was about enjoying our life.
I mean, we all knew that Jim was going to have a special talent for golf, but then to become the voice of the NFL, to become the voice of the
college basketball,
it's just been an incredible ride for all of you guys. And out of that, suite mates. There were suite mates in the dorm. I'm not sure how much sleep they got, but Fred did. He slept through all the classes.
Fred could fall asleep in a drop of a hat. I when he stayed with us at home in my house, I can always tell you I had to go get him out of my chair just to get him to go to bed, and he would fall asleep in my recliner. I mean, it was always a sports event that he was watching, but he would fall asleep in a drop of a hat. But that's a heck of a story, Charlie. We've had an unbelievable life, and as I tell Freddie, it's been a heck of a ride. And we both have enjoyed the heck out of it. But it's just something you'll always never forget, and it'll always be a memory in my life.
That's good, Blaine, and we're going to look forward to having you come to Houston next week. We're going to have fun. We're going to celebrate Mrs. Bush's life out at the golf tournament. She was always part of that. So yes. Appreciate you coming on. How about this, Brian? You didn't know I knew a star like this, did you?
I didn't know, Charlie. You proved it.
See, I told you. See, I told us. You know Blaine McKellar. I said, yeah, I know Blaine. He'll take my call.
But just remember, I'm not the star. The star is sitting next to you. It's called Charlie F.
Yeah.
The true gentleman and sporting star of the city of Houston. That's right. The golf doctor. Well, the one and only.
We're going to have some fun next week, Blaine.
Hey, Blaine, thank you
so
much.
All right, gentlemen, look forward to it.
Blaine, thanks so much for giving us some time. We really appreciate it. It was great stuff.
You bet. My pleasure, and I've enjoyed it.
Bye-bye, Blaine.
All right. Wow. Incredible stuff. I just can't believe it. Fred Couples, Blaine McAllister, and Jim Antrim.
From Fort Stockton, Texas.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You know what his girlfriend's name was?
What's that?
My girl. He'd come up, he'd say, meet my girl. Dave, he did that to Dave Maher. He says, Blaine, doesn't your girlfriend have a name? Oh, yeah. My girl.
Unbelievable. All right, well, we're going to try to squeeze in the tip of the week next, Charlie, right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Brian Barrett. It's time for the tip of the week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
All right, Charlie, you got a quick tip before we sign off for the day?
If y'all missed the show, go to the podcast. How do they get to the podcast?
Very simple. Podcastarena.com/Epps/.
And my email is cepps68@att.net. If you got any golf questions, just email me and we'll get them on the air. And if you got a problem with your golf swing, we'll get your swing taken care of with Billy Harmon. He's hobnobbing with the rich and famous this week, but he'll be back next week.
Hey, Charlie, I got to say the same about you, though. I mean, you're going to Rockets games with Blaine McAllister. You're having dinners in the past with Phil Knight. I mean, you're kind of the celebrity guy, too. So,
you know, I just kind of hang around everybody's coat sleeves, you know, and I get in by. But that's the life. I've been very lucky, you know, to be a golf pro.
All right, so you got two lessons today.
Yes.
And then you're heading fishing.
I'm going bone fishing.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. I'll take a few pictures. And I'll bring your shirt next week.
I appreciate that, Charlie. I hope you catch some fish out there.
So do I. I hear they're elusive.
Yeah, and maybe have an adult beverage, too, while you're there.
I might do that.
All right. Have a good afternoon, everybody, right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.